Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your pleasure over us, God. We thank you for your love and kindness, and help us to meet with you and to abide in you, in your presence, God, this morning as we spend some time with you. Thank you, God. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This verse should really include the word if. So it should be, and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Okay. So from last Tuesday, Pastor Sam has suggested to us, the staff, that we try this new discipleship course out as we'll be the guinea pigs, basically, before we introduce it to the church. And it's like the follow-up book for Experiencing God. It's called Fresh Encounter. So it's right here. And so it just started last week, so we've been doing it. We're supposed to do it. It's like EG. You're supposed to do a chapter every day. And then we were going to discuss it today in our staff meeting. But unfortunately, Pastor Sam, some of you may have heard already, but he has ruptured his Achilles tendon. So he actually had to go into surgery last night. So please pray for him. We'll pray for him today. But let's pray for full healing. We heard from him this morning that he's doing well. I think he's already had the surgery. And he should be out by Wednesday. But yeah, let's pray for him. So we probably won't discuss the book today. But anyway, this has been my quiet time doing this. So I want to share from just kind of the things that I've been reflecting upon through this book. So the first chapter, it talks a lot about revival. I had no idea what to expect. But it begins with talking about revival and spiritual awakening and the need for revival in the church today, and the need for revival in our personal lives. And at least from what I'm understanding, what I'm getting from this book is that the way revival breaks out in a church or in a person's heart, it begins with repentance, right? That's why we get this verse. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, right? That's a picture of repentance. Humbling ourselves, praying to God and turning from the wrong way. So it begins with repentance. And he asked a question that was very, spoke to me, because he asked, does the word repentance, does it have a positive, is it a positive word or a negative word for you? And for me, I've been noticing as I've been reading through this chapter that I really don't like repentance. I don't like to be told that I'm doing something wrong. There's something very emotionally, I just react against it, and I go, just don't get off my back. Even when I'm reading this, part of me is like, why is he talking about repentance so much? You know, like, I think I'm okay. That's my heart. I always just want to justify myself and always just want to say, you know, like, I want to hear messages. I want to be told that I'm pleasing to God and that I'm the object of his affection, right? I mean, and it's true, right? All those messages are true, but my heart is always more drawn to that. But when somebody talks about repentance, my initial reaction is like, hey, I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel negative about myself. And I'm so like, maybe it's because growing up, you know, in the church, you know, through all my life, especially in a more Asian, traditional Korean church, a lot of the messages I heard was, you know, we're sinners and we need to repent and we need to do this and that. So, and then since coming from that and being healed from a lot of that teaching and really learning and understanding that God is a God of love, that He's good, that He's pleased with us, maybe I have a negative reaction, you know, I have a reaction against this kind of message of repentance, even though there's a lot of truth in that message as well. So I know that even in our home, most of the times why we get into fights, and it doesn't happen so much now, but in the beginning of our relationship, a lot of the times the fights would happen because I would do something wrong, and it would come up in our conversations, and I would just get really upset. I'd be like, hey, you know, and my first thing I want to do is justify myself and make excuses, and I'd get really mad and say, why are you mad at me? You know, it wasn't a big deal. But now I've learned that really the best thing to do at that time is just to repent. I mean, even if it's to my wife, to repent and say, hey, I'm sorry, I did this, it was wrong, I shouldn't have done it. Because you know why? Because she's not the type of person that's going to hold it against me, right? If I tell her, hey, you're right, I did something wrong and I'm sorry, she's not going to be like, that's right, you're such a loser, like, I hate you, why'd you do that? She's going to say, I forgive you, it's okay. And I think that's why repentance it really should be such a positive word, because along with repentance comes the hopeful promise of God that there's going to be forgiveness and healing and restoration, right? Unless we come into a place of repentance, we're not going to experience this healing and the forgiveness and the restoration of relationship with God and the peace that floods in to our heart when we come before the Lord in repentance. I don't have the exact reference, but there is a psalm where David is writing his psalm after his whole thing with Bathsheba, and there is sin in his heart. And of that time, David says, my bones, he felt like there was groaning in his heart. And then there is a heavy weight in his heart. And there is, I think he says something about his bones feeling like it's being crushed down. Right, there's all this turmoil inside of our hearts when we're carrying unrepentant sin that we're aware of, or we're refusing to kind of acknowledge it or admit to it. We're trying to justify ourselves. But once we come into the Lord, into His presence, and we confess our sin and we repent, there is forgiveness and peace and restoration. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, one of the main messages of this book is that revival begins with Christians repenting. A lot of the times when we think about revival in the city or revival in the schools that I'm visiting or whatever, I want to get my students together. We want to come together as a church and we want to pray for our city. We want to say, God, come and heal this land, right? Come and bring your justice and come and bring your hope and bring your love and help people come to know you. But really what this discipleship book is, this teaching has taught me is that revival, it first begins with Christians praying and coming into a place of repentance first. First, repenting of our own sins. First, recognizing and realizing and admitting and confessing the ways that we have come short of God's commandments. And Christians coming together not to pray for the city, not to pray for the lost, but to really pray for ourselves and say, God, we've really messed up. We've really fallen short of what You're calling us to. And for that, we repent and we seek Your mercy, right? That's, you know, the verse that we read today. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray. So it's really dealing with God's people first. If God's people who are called by His name, the Christians, the ones that have been called by God, if we humble ourselves and we begin to pray and repent, then God's going to sweep across and do something First within the church, and then through the church into the world. So there's a great story of the Wales revival, and this is one of my favorite stories that Pastor Sam tells. And if you have, you know, if you're new to the church, you might not have heard it. And just ask P. Sam one day to say, "Hey, can you tell the story of this revival?" Because he's going to do a much better job than what I'm going to do right now. But it comes in this book as well, and it talks about this guy Evan Roberts, and he was a coal miner, but he really had a heart for God and really felt a concern for the spiritual condition of the land of Wales. So he begins to pray. You know, for 13 years, he prays every day that God would bring revival to the churches. And God moves in his heart in 1904 to go into a Bible college, to really give up the coal mining and to give himself into full-time ministry. So he goes to Bible college and meets a bunch of other young people, and they also have a heart for revival. So they begin to pray together. And during one of these times in that year, he goes to a midweek service where Seth Joshua, another evangelist, comes into town and he preaches a message, and he closes the meeting by praying this one prayer. He says, "Lord, bend us. Lord, bend us." And the Holy Spirit really spoke to Evan Roberts' heart through that simple prayer, "Lord, bend us." So he begins to pray over and over again, "Oh Lord, bend me. Bend me, bend me." And while he's in the middle of prayer, God begins to call him, and he senses God calling him to go back to his home church and to preach to the young people about this message of Jesus Christ and repentance. So he goes back to his home church, and he asks his pastor, "Hey, I feel like God's calling me to preach," but the pastor won't let him preach at the Sunday service. So after the Sunday service, the pastor announces basically and says, "Hey, this young man, Evan Roberts, is here. And he's been attending Bible college, and he wants to preach a message. If you want to stay back after service and hear this young man preach, you can stay." So everybody goes, but 17 people are left in the church. And so Evan Roberts preaches to these 17 people. And he preaches a very simple message, and it's 4 points, and these are the 4 points. Number one, you must put away any unconfessed sin. You must put away any unconfessed sin. Number two, you must put away any doubtful habit. You must put away any doubtful habit. Number three, you must promptly obey the Holy Spirit. And number four, you must publicly confess Christ. I mean, such a simple message about how we should live our lives, but the Holy Spirit just comes upon that place, and these 17 people come into a real time of repentance, and from that time on, God begins to move in this land, and there's this repentance movement that breaks out from Wales, which eventually turns into this great spiritual awakening in this land. And but it begins with this idea of confessing any, you know, putting away any unconfessed sin, putting away any doubtful habit that we hold on to, and choosing to obey the Holy Spirit promptly, right? And it began with that prayer, "Oh God, bend me," right? What does that mean, bend me? Really, it just means that you would be humble enough to be changed by God, right? Because a lot of the times our hearts are so stubborn, our hearts are so hardened, and we refuse to be bent. If the conviction comes through a book or through a sermon, my heart is hard, and I say, "What?" And there's resistance. I want to say, "No, I'm doing okay. Just don't get off my back, right? Don't talk to me about repentance. Don't tell me I need to do something differently." But this prayer of saying, "God, bend me, you know, break me, really change me and help me to be humble enough to be transformed and to repent and to change." And then from that place of repentance, revival breaks out. Let me just read to you what John Piper says about how he repents. John Piper is a pastor in the States, well-known, very respected pastor, and very, very committed and serious about his faith. And he writes about repentance. He says sometimes he wakes up in the morning, he just has this vague sense of feeling unworthy and feeling crummy about himself and feeling like he's guilty. But he says that's not helpful at all. If you come to God with those feelings and you don't do anything with it, it's not very helpful. What you have to do is get very concrete about the ways. Why do you feel crummy? What are the things that you've been doing? What are the specific ways you have been disobedient? And then bring those things to God in repentance, because then you can really experience that peace that comes through the forgiveness of God. And he says, so he says this, "So I begin to call to my mind the commands that I frequently break." And these are the ones that came to his mind. And I just want to share that with you, because you might be sitting here thinking, I don't need to repent, I'm doing okay. Let me just read to you these commandments, and you will have definitely some things, that specific things that you have to repent of. Because these are commands in the Bible that we break so frequently, and we just gloss over them. For whatever reason, our hearts are so prideful, so haughty, and we say, you know, we just kind of say, oh, it's okay, and we ignore it. So let me just read to you. Matthew 22:37. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not 95%, 100%. Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be as eager for things to go well for him or her as you are for things to go well for you. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling. No grumbling inside or outside. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties on him, so that you are not being weighed down by it anymore. Ephesians 4:29. Only say things that give grace to others, especially those closest to you. Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time. Don't waste time. Don't do stupid things with your time. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above. Connect all your thoughts to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Do not return evil for evil. And he gives an example, like when your wife or daughter says something you don't like, don't return evil for evil. Philippians 4:4, 2 Corinthians 6:10, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, always, if sorrowful, keep rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, in all circumstances. And he says this, so much for any pretensions to great holiness, I am undone. But then he goes on to say, but now it's specific. I look at my sin in the eye, and I can bring those things before God, and I can come into repentance. And then comes the great promise in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will bring his forgiveness. So this morning, I just want us to come before the Lord in repentance. And maybe it's something that we just need to really make it a habit of, until it becomes so easy for us to repent. The old Puritans had this prayer. They would pray to the Lord and say, they would pray for the gift of tears, right? The true repentance really only comes if the Holy Spirit can move in our hearts to come into this place of humility, to convict us of our sin. And they would pray for the gift of tears. And I think that's something that we can use as well. Jeremiah 6:15 talks about how people have forgotten how to blush, right? People, they have become so wicked and so prideful that they don't even know how to blush. And even when I was reading these lists of commandments that's in the Bible, I wonder how many of us really had a heart to blush. Or if we were saying, but you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, and make excuses for ourselves to say, you know, but who can really do that, right? And so-and-so does this too, and so-and-so does that as well. And so let me just pray. Eunice is going to come and lead us in a song. But, I mean, it's not just to make us feel bad, right? But, because repentance isn't meant to make us feel bad, because if we repent and confess, I mean, the promise is there that God's going to restore us into a relationship with him. Please don't take it as condemning. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if we can truly learn to repent of our sins quickly and confess of our sins quickly to the Lord, I think we'll just experience a lot more revival in our hearts. So God, I pray for myself as well, God, and for our church, Lord, our church, Solomon's Porch, for this group here, God, that you would bend us, God, that you would bend our hearts, Lord. I pray that our hearts will not be so stubborn, God, that we refuse to be bent by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So many ways, God, we have fallen short of your commandments, God. But yet, you know, you are so kind. You display your mercy over us all the time. Because of your kindness, God, we can come to you in repentance. Because we know that there is kindness with you and mercy with you and grace with you. So I pray that you would help our hearts to be quick to repent, God. Now help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways so that we may experience your forgiveness, God. We may experience your healing and your restoration. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Shadow of your wings. reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies.
God, thank you, Lord. I pray that you would give us the gift of tears, the gift of repentance, God, gift of humility. We humbly confess to you, God, that we don't even know how to repent often, God, that it's so easy for us to justify ourselves, God, and find ways to or find excuses, God, for the things that we do that are displeasing to you. And I pray that you would help us to repent, God. I pray for the gift of repentance, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show to each person specific things, God, specific convictions, Lord, specific things that we need to come into repentance about, God. So, thank you, God. We're thankful for your love and your faithfulness as we sang just now, God, that your love is so unconditional and so amazing and massive, God, and your faithfulness. And it's because of your kindness that we can repent. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters going through cancer or surgery or going through chemo or radiotherapy. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for the power of God to be released. Praise report. Actually, it's not on this slide. I'll give it to you when we get to the right slide. Let's pray for the people that's on this list. Let's go to the second slide. Our friend Constance, her dad used to be on this slide because of his cancer, but she wrote yesterday that he is now cancer-free. So praise God. Let's continue to pray. If you can remember Constance Leung, her father, that he would also come to know Jesus Christ. Let's pray for his salvation. But all these other people on this list, we're praying for them for physical healing as well as salvation. So let's lift up our friends and pray that God would move in their lives to bring them to a saving knowledge and saving faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for our friends going through various infirmities, and included here would be Pastor Sam, just his recovery from his surgery on his Achilles tendon. So let's pray for that, and let's pray for everyone else on this list. Let's go to the fourth prayer. Yeah, let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor and guidance. Pray against any discouragement. Pray against any confusion. Let's pray that God would speak to them and minister to them in this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the churches. You know, there's revival. There's on the list, but it begins with repentance in the churches. Let's pray for the churches to really let's pray that the church would really start to repent of all sorts of things, you know, of anything that God convicts us about. Let's pray that the churches will be quick to repent. And through the repentance of the church, that a spiritual awakening would come to our city of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the various ministries. Let's pray for all the ministry leaders. Pray for God's favor. Pray for provision. Pray for anointing. So let's pray for this city of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the staff. Thank you for praying for us. Pray for Pastor Sam again for full healing. Let's pray for Lisa and the children as P. Sam is going through this time of recovery, that Lisa and the children will also be protected spiritually and physically, and that they would, God will minister to this family. Let's pray for a lot of joy and peace in this family, and pray for the rest of the staff. Just for anointing and that we will work well together as a staff, that there will be great unity in amongst the staff. And let's pray together for the staff. Let's pray for the worship team and the sound team and the media team. Let's pray for the heart of worship. Let's pray for heart of excellence. And just along with heart of excellence, that there will be great attention to what's going on, especially for the sound person. So let's just pray and cover this area, that there will be a growth and a new level. Also, as we as a church, as we are pursuing the prophetic, that God would release a prophetic anointing upon the worship team, that there will be spontaneous songs and movements that God will usher in to our church, that will be just the next level for the worship team. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for our worship sound team. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team. Let's pray for God's blessing over the team members. And let's pray for creativity. Pray for the spread team specifically. And for anything that's done that's, you know, creative, related to the arts, decorating and artwork or painting murals or whatever it might be. Let's pray for God's favor and God's great ideas and also great organizational skills to get those things done. So let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Pray for all the leaders. Pray for a great time of discussion and mighty presence of God to be there in the house churches. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. We love you. We praise you. We worship you, God. You are so good to us. Thank you for just a reminder, God, to repent, to be quick to repent, God, to enter into repentance. And I pray that you would help us, God, to do that, that you would release to us the gift of tears, God, that you would bend our hearts, God. That we would bend our hearts, God. So, Lord, come and bend us. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. We love you. I pray for your covering and protection and blessing over each person here, that you would go with them, God, as they go about their work and their, go about their day today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow.